welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark LeVernier, delivering an hour of mystery. Later on, Vincent Price stars as crime fighter, the Saint, but right now it's the new adventures of Michael Shane with Jeff Chandler. This broadcast, syndicated in 1948, is called The Case of the Popular Corpse.
Her hat was on the ground by the edge of the river. There were a few bloodstains here and there, that was all. I had a hunch I'd seen the last of June Lawson. Then I heard a faint noise behind me. Somebody was cocking a revolver. And I knew without turning around, the gun was pointing at my spine, that any second it was going to go off.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of the Popular Corpse.
$30 for office rent. Come in. 765 phone, 320 lights. Is it balance or... No balance.
I beg your pardon.
What? Oh, sorry, ma'am. Here, have a seat.
Thank you. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, I was just balancing my books. It's a job for a tightrope walker. So what's on your mind, Mrs.?
Miss Clarissa Howard.
Miss Howard.
Mr. Shane, I want you to find my niece for me. June Lawson. I'm turning to you as a last resort.
Oh?
I haven't wanted anyone to know, so I've been making excuses to them all about June's whereabouts. You see, it's a rather painful matter for me to discuss.
What do you mean?
Well, the plain fact is, Mr. Shane, my niece ran away from home a month ago.
I see.
Oh, I suppose it was my fault, really. I should have made more of an attempt to understand her, but... Huh? Well, there's quite a difference between 55 and 29. More than just the years.
Yeah.
And that's made being her guardian a little difficult sometimes.
You think June's here in New Orleans?
I'm positive of it. You see, Mr. Shane, June and I lived out in the country about 40 miles, near La Place. Oh, here's the address.
Huh?
I still live there, but a month ago she just left. Shortly afterward, I got a note from her. She wrote that if any mail came for her, to forward it care of general delivery here. Her note was written on Donner Hotel stationery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and here's a snapshot of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Very pretty girl, Miss Howard.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, you don't have any idea where she'd be. Anything might help me find her.
Well, she was fond of music and a nightclub.
Oh, that's not much help.
Yes, I know, but it's all I can offer, I'm afraid. She kept pretty much to herself, sort of strange and quiet. Even her hobby is a strange one.
Oh, what is it?
She collects epitaphs.
Epitaphs? Is she kidding?
Oh, no. No, she has quite a collection.
Learn something new every day. Well, I can't guarantee anything, Miss Howard, but I will try to locate June Lawson.
No, please do, Mr. Shane. That is another thing. I'm not an alarmist, Mr. Shane, but I'm a little worried about June.
What do you mean?
Well, I might as well tell you that she has some enemies.
Oh?
Yes, one in particular. A man named...
Yeah?
Oh, but that doesn't matter. I'm sure if we could just get her to come back home, she'll be safe and everything will be all right, and I'll be a very happy woman.
Well, look, I'll do everything I can, Miss Howard, and I'll keep in touch with you. She thanked me and left. A plain-looking woman with a loneliness about her that made me feel sorry for her. I sat there a couple of minutes looking at the snapshot of June Lawson. Nice. Looking for someone like that couldn't be too unpleasant. About then, there was another knock on the door, and in came a very rugged-looking boy.
Shane?
Yeah?
My name is Keneally.
So?
So I have a job for you. I want you to find someone for me, a girl named June Lawson.
June Lawson?
Yeah, she's here in New Orleans.
Yeah?
I'll pay you $100 to find her.
Oh, you must be pretty anxious to see her.
I am.
Why, Keneally?
For $100, you ask an awful lot of questions.
Why do you want to find June Lawson?
Let's just say I have something for her.
That's what I thought. What is it, gold or lead?
Go on.
Skip it. Where are you staying, Mr. Keneally?
That doesn't matter, does it? I could keep in touch with you here at your office.
What's the matter? Don't you like visitors? Okay, Keneally, you keep in touch. Because I just might have something for you. A lot sooner than you think.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the Popular Corpse.
Well, in my business, you get used to surprises. I must admit that hearing the same story from two different people within an hour was a little startling. Both Clarissa Howard and a character named Keneally wanted me to find June Lawson for them. Only I had a hunch about why Keneally wanted to find her. Took the snapshot of June that Clarissa had given to me, over to the Donna Hotel where Clarissa thought June might have stayed for a while. Clerk's face lit up like a pinball machine as soon as I showed him June's picture.
Yeah, she's really something, huh?
You remember her?
Remember? Sure, June Lawson. Could I forget something like that? Look, excuse me. You her boyfriend or something?
No.
Oh, yeah, she was a real looker. Sort of strange, though.
How do you mean?
Always kept pretty much to herself. You know, didn't give a guy anything in the way of encouragement.
Yeah, I see.
Of course, I was only trying to be companionable. Mm-hmm. Little girl all alone in the big city. You know, I figured she'd be sort of lonely.
Yeah.
But she couldn't see it that way. That's too bad.
When did she check out?
Day before yesterday. I think it was.
That recently, huh? I don't suppose she left a forwarding address.
No, I tried to get her to. You know, just a matter of record. No soap.
Okay, look, one more thing.
Yeah?
That bull-necked individual sitting over by the door reading a paper. You see him?
Yeah. What about him?
Do you guess here?
Don't place him. Why?
No reason. He came in a couple of minutes after I did. I was just wondering.
Afraid I can't help you there.
Okay, doesn't matter. Thanks. I walked through the lobby and out the front door, and on the way, I took a good look at Bull Neck. But he never looked up from his paper. I don't know, maybe it was my imagination. The next day, for lack of any other starting place, I went down to the post office and found a bench where I could watch the people going in and out. I'd remembered Clarissa telling me June was getting her mail care of general delivery. Well, I don't know if you've ever tried sitting on a bench all day. If not, don't. It's nothing but dull. And then finally, in the late afternoon, I spotted Bullneck sitting across the street. I guess I stared at him for a couple of minutes before I realized I was supposed to be watching the general delivery window. I twisted my head around, and there she was, just melting into the crowd. The girl in the snapshot, June Lawson. Hey, wait a minute, June!
Oh!
Beg your pardon, lady. I didn't see you.
Well, don't you look where you're going.
Look, I didn't mean to bump into
you. What are
you
trying to do?
I said I was sorry, lady. June, hey, wait a minute, June. Hey, well, how do you like that? She's gone. Well, at least I'd seen June. I could tell Clarissa that her niece was alive and in New Orleans. So the next day, I drove out to Miss Howard's home in the country. The rambling old place that just sort of leaned tiredly against a grove of trees. Even the air around the house smelled musty, and I was beginning to see why June had left home. There was a dehydrated-looking gardener wandering around in front of the house, prodding the ground here and there. I went over to him. Pardon me, mister. I'm talking to you. Hey, is this where Clarissa Howard lives?
This is where.
Well, do you tell her I'm here, or do I know, or what?
Ordinarily, it not.
Okay, I'll be ordinary.
Won't do you any good.
Huh?
Ain't home.
Oh. And look, Chatterbox, would you mind telling me where she is?
Don't mind. Except I don't know.
Oh, fine.
Away for the day. Kitty, probably.
Well, okay. By the way, you knew her niece, June Lawson, didn't you?
Sure did.
She ever say anything to you about where she was going when she left?
Never did.
You're a big help.
I was away on a vacation when June left. Come back, she was gone. Me and Doris had left, too. Guess neither of them like it here. Star point with me, mister.
What is, June leaving or the maid?
Neither. My vacation, that's the star point.
Why?
Oh, Miss Hyde, she says to me before I went, she'd get somebody to look after things while I'm gone. So she turns around and hires about the stupidest man she could find.
Huh?
I don't know who he was, and it's just as well.
Now, take it easy.
Why, the dumb, funny mess up all my work.
All right, easy.
All of it. Didn't do anything much.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't even mow a lawn.
Yeah, yeah, no, no.
Even cultivated around my prize camellia. Think of that.
What do you
now,
know?
I'm a plain, ordinary fool knows better than to cultivate around camellia.
Of course.
Why, just thinking about
no, no,
it gets me
easy, Pop, easy.
Why, if I ever get my
now, look, Pop, unwind. I haven't the time. I'll see you later.
It makes me so doggone mad.
I left the old fella hopping around, doing a little shadow boxing and turning the air blue. I went back to town, tried to figure out my next move. It's getting nowhere fast. One thing, sure, I had no ambition to camp at the general delivery window again. Then I remembered Clarissa told me June liked nightclubs and music. Well, that was about as slim a lead as you can have, but it was better than nothing. So I started making the rounds of the night spots that had bands. Philippe's was first on the list. I put the snapshot down on the bar in front of the bartender.
What'll it be, mister?
This.
Hey, that's nice. But not on the menu.
I know. Ever seen her before?
I'm afraid I haven't had the pleasure.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, what is it?
When you find her, bring her in, will you? I'd like to meet her.
I kept going. I covered 15 spots by midnight. I was about ready to give up. Nobody recognized June's picture, but they all wanted to see the original. Then I tried number 6. My luck started to pick up.
Yeah, let's have another look. Yeah.
She's been in here before?
Yeah, she comes in here every now and then.
Oh, thanks. Look, have one on me, will you? I'm going to stick around a while, just in case.
Make yourself at home, mister. Yeah, thanks for the drink.
I waited about an hour, I guess. Then all of a sudden, she was standing in the doorway, June Lawson. Only she didn't come in, just took a look around, turned, and went out again. I was on my feet in a hurry. When I got out on the sidewalk, she was just turning the corner. I started after her. Then I spotted Bullneck. He came at me fast, and he had a present for me, a roll of pennies. Only his fist was closed around it, and before I could duck, he gave me the present right back on my left ear. Oh! When I came out of it, the bartender was bending over me.
My, my. Look at all the pennies.
Yeah. They're not from heaven, brother, believe me.
Some lump you got there.
Yeah, thanks. I'll sell it to you cheap. I suppose you know what became of the boy who gave it to me.
Sure.
Huh?
I heard the noise and got out here in time to see him going into that all-night drugstore. See it? Across the street and down a ways?
Yeah.
Eric said like he sort of the one to keep an eye on you. He hasn't come out of there yet.
Good, he's going to have company. Thanks. I crossed the street and started for the drugstore. When I got to the door, I saw Bullneck inside. He seemed pretty startled to see me. He backed toward the rear of the store, but he picked the wrong place. There was no way out.
Get away from me, Shane.
Uh-uh. We're going to have a little talk, Bullneck.
I got nothing to say.
We're going to change that. Who hired you to tell me?
Go on, beat it.
Let's have it. Who hired you?
Come on. Shane, if you know what's good for you...
Look, I know what's not good for me. Getting hit by you a couple of minutes ago is one of the things. Now, open up before I get the answer out of you the hard way.
I said beat it. I'm not telling you nothing.
Okay, Buster, you're begging for it. Here it is without the penny. You... All right, come on, champ. That was just the first round.
Lay off, Shane. Lay off.
You feel more like talking now?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, who hired you to tell me? Come on, talk!
Keneally.
Keneally? What's his angle?
I don't know.
Come on, Bullneck, open up or we'll go round and round again.
I'm giving it to you straight. I tell you, I don't know. Keneally hired me. That's all I know. Keneally hired me.
Okay. I think maybe you better retire from active service, though, as of right now. Well, I was no nearer finding June than before. But squaring with Bullneck for the lump on my head made me feel a little better about things. I went back to my office, and I was pretty sure I'd seen the last of Bullneck and the boy who hired him, Keneally. But that just shows how wrong you can be. When I opened my office door, there was Keneally sitting behind my desk.
Hello, Shane. You found June Lawson?
What are you doing here, Keneally?
Asking if you found June Lawson yet.
Look, you know if I found her yet or not. That bull-necked baboon of yours has been keeping you posted.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, of course not. Now, listen, Keneally, I know why you want to find June. I'm not going to be a party to it. You'll never find her through me. I've told Bullneck to lay off, and I'm telling you. Now, get out.
All right, Shane. All right. But you haven't seen the last of me. That's a promise from me to you.
But at the moment, I was more interested in bed than I was in Keneally's promises. So I went to my room and turned in. The next morning, I decided I'd better try again to see Clarissa so I could report to her. But she saved me the trouble. She was waiting for me at my office.
Good morning, Mr. Shane. I understand you came out to the house yesterday.
Yes.
I'm sorry I missed you. Have you found out anything yet?
Well, I can't tell you where June is yet.
Oh.
She's alive.
She is, you're sure?
I've gotten a couple of glimpses of her.
Oh, Mr. Shane, that's wonderful. You don't know how happy I am to hear that. What a relief it is.
You said June had an enemy. You started to name him, and then you stopped.
Well, I thought it best not to say any more about it.
I think we'd better. Is his name Keneally?
Keneally?
Is it?
Yes, Mr. Shane.
I think you'd better tell me why he's looking for her, Miss Howard.
Yes, I suppose I had. You see, Mr. Shane, I've acted in the sense as June's guardian for some time. The periodic sums of money in her inheritance have always been paid to me. I regulated her finances. But for the last year, I received no money from the estate at all up north. June told me the inheritance had all been paid.
You found out differently?
Yes. June finally confessed that she'd been intercepting the money to pay Keneally.
Blackmail?
Yes. She wouldn't tell me why.
Well, cheer up, Miss Howard. We're not licked yet. I must admit I'm fresh out of leads. Is there anything you forgot to tell me about her that might help?
No. No, I can't think of anything.
Wait a minute. You did tell me something that might help. You said June's hobby was collecting epitaphs.
Well, that's right.
That's the one thing I haven't tried, the cemeteries.
Oh, but there are so many of them.
I know, but it's worth a try, and I better get started. I'll keep you posted, Miss Howard. Who knows? Maybe we'll hit the jackpot with our last nickel. She left after that, and I made a list of the cemeteries that were noted for interesting epitaphs. And then I started off. I went from one to another with no luck. It was just a little before dark when I got to St. Louis Cemetery number 1. Way across the place, a couple of hundred yards away, I saw a girl walking among the crypts. I started toward her, and I was still more than 100 yards away from her when she turned her head and saw me. It was June. She didn't waste any time. She headed in the direction of the river, and fast. Hey, June. Hey, wait a minute, June. What for crying out loud? She's gone. Here we go again. I kept going toward the river, because I knew she'd have to be around there somewhere. It was getting pretty dark now. Finally, I got to the bushes near the bank and parted them. When I stopped, her hat was on the ground by the river's edge, and there were a few bloodstains here and there, and that was all. I had a hunch I'd seen the last of June Lawson. Then I heard a faint noise behind me. Somebody was cocking a revolver. I knew without turning around that the gun was pointing at my spine, that any second it was going to go off.
In a moment, we'll be back with a thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
Well, there I was. June Lawson's hat in front of me on the riverbank and a gun behind me due to go off any second. I didn't even know who was holding the gun, but I didn't have to wait long to find out.
Went a little too far, didn't you, Shane?
Well, Keneally. Can't say I'm very surprised.
You're going to come with me, Shane, right now, and no tricks, or you'll get one right in the back.
The way June Lawson did?
Yeah, if you want to put it that way.
You know, ordinarily, there's nothing I'd like better than to accept your invitation. Right now, I haven't the time.
Shane!
I was lucky. The light was bad. The slug plowed into the dirt, an inch from my neck. I kept in the bushes and kept moving fast. A couple of times, I could see Keneally walking along, outlined against the sky. And finally, I shook him. I went back into town. All of a sudden, I realized I was near the bar where I'd gotten a glimpse of June the night before, so I dropped in. I sat there for quite a while. I was almost ready to leave and drive out to break the news to Clarissa when I happened to look up. I blinked and looked again. No, I wasn't imagining things. Sitting there at the bar, down near the far end, was June Lawson. Well, this time I didn't lose out. I got to the side door a step before she did.
Go on.
Oh, no.
I'm leaving.
Oh, good. We'll leave together. Come on. Come on outside.
Here.
Okay. This alley ought to do nicely. Now, come on. Let's have it. What's this all about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Come on, give, June. Why this hard-to-catch routine you've been giving me the last couple of days? Also, why the fake murder set up on the riverbank?
Look, I'm jumping out of this deal. I'm washing my hands of it. I haven't done anything, and you can't prove I have. And I'm sick of all this.
What are you talking about?
Look, mister, I'm not the girl you want.
Oh, now, don't give me that. I've got a picture of you. I've seen you twice in the last couple of days.
Oh, I'm the girl you've been chasing, all right, but I'm not June Lawson.
What?
No. My name is Doris. I was the maid out there at June's and Miss Howard's place.
Yeah, but what?
Well, I'll tell you all I know, and that isn't much. I was hired to stay in town to let you see me, but not catch up to me. I wasn't expecting you to come back here tonight. I was supposed to make it look like I'd been murdered down there at the river. My boyfriend was hired, too, to follow you and report your progress.
Your boyfriend? You mean Bull Neck? I still don't see
what... If anyone asked us, we were supposed to say Keneally hired us.
But Keneally really didn't hire either of you, huh?
No. Believe me, mister, I'm telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you are, Doris.
And the reason I thought she was because I started remembering things all of a sudden. Things the withered little gardener had told me. That June must have left while he was away. And that somebody'd been cultivating around his prized camellias. Yeah, about then it all began to make sense. I drove out to Clarissa's place. It was dark and quiet. I fumbled around until I found a shovel leaning against the lath house. Then I went over to the camellia bushes. I started to dig. Ground was soft and it wasn't from rain. I had a pretty strong hunch what I'd find. 2 feet down and I stopped. Wasn't a pretty sight. Only I didn't have much time to brood about it.
Good evening, Mr. Shane.
Clarissa.
Yes. Kindly do not move. I have a gun. Well, you've discovered my dear departed niece's resting place. Very clever of you.
You killed the real June Lawson a month ago.
It will be a month tomorrow. Very convenient of you to have dug your own grave, Mr. Shane.
Grave?
Yes. You will rest in peace beside June there.
Oh, wait a minute.
Put down that shovel. Put it down.
Come on up. Let's have the gun. Let's have it. Out there. That's better.
Drop the gun, Shane.
Keneally.
Yeah, Keneally.
Now, look.
You won't get away this time, Shane. Nor you, Clarissa.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Keneally.
Now look, if you'll let me get a word in
here. You haven't time for many more words, Shane. You killed my cousin. That's why you're going to die, too.
Your cousin?
Yeah, June Lawson.
June, but...
A little while ago, down on the riverbank. I missed you then. I won't miss you now.
Look, you got it all wrong. Clarissa hired me.
Yes, I know Clarissa hired you to kill June. I know all about Clarissa.
I tell you, I don't know what...
You've been stealing the money from June for 2 years, Clarissa, from the estate. I became suspicious. Came here to investigate.
So that's your motive, Clarissa. June found out you were taking her dough, confronted you, and you answered all her questions permanently.
Don't try to get out of it, Shane. Clarissa hired you to kill June.
Now look, this is straight. I had nothing to do with it. Clarissa killed June. You came to New Orleans to investigate, and when she found out you were coming to see me, she got to me first to discredit you. She hired the maid to pose as June.
No good.
Well, can't you get it through your head that Clarissa killed June a month ago?
What are you talking about?
Look. There's a hole in the ground behind me. Look.
He looked for quite a while. And Clarissa started to edge away, but not soon enough. Keneally turned on her, and his face was white, but his gun didn't waver. It was pointed right at her head. There was only one thing I could do, dive at him. It was a dead heat. Just as I hit him, the gun went off. A slug hit the tree beside Clarissa, and by that time I had the gun turned toward the ground. I kept twisting, and suddenly his hand went limp. I had the gun. He just sort of sagged in. Shock, I guess. I knew then that I could persuade him to let the law take its course with Clarissa. Well, that's just about that. Except the way I look at it, I'm still in danger. Just as much as ever. No, not from Bull Neck. I haven't seen him since. But not Keneally. He's pretty grateful I stopped him from killing Clarissa. No, it's that gardener of Clarissa's I'm worried about. He's still looking for me on account of what I did to those prize camellias of his that night.
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday and was written by Bob Reif. The music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chandler. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, on Tuned to Yesterday from 1948, a syndicated broadcast. Star Jeff Chandler was not only heard on that series, but many others during radio's yesteryear. In the year of that episode alone, he was heard on the Seal Test Variety Theater, the Hallmark Playhouse, the Whistler, in Let George Do It, and on the sitcom Our Miss Brooks, where he had a regular role. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday with your host, Mark Levonier. And now Vincent Price stars as the Saint. This next episode, part of the Mutual Broadcasting System's Sunday night lineup at 7:30, 8.5 million people were tuned into this episode called Greed Causes Murder from August 14th, 1949.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime is now transcribed for radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Hey, what's going on here?
This is my car here. Stop it.
Hey, cut it out. Stop it. What's the idea? Now, let that man alone.
Look, you keep out of this, buddy, or I'll... Well, it ain't the Saint.
It's euphonic, but slightly ungrammatical, Mac. Now, what's the disturbance?
They drew up alongside of my car. Him and the other fella. They said, get out. We're taking your car.
Why, Mac wouldn't do a thing like that. Now, would you, Mac?
Nah. Of course not. The old man's nuts.
What Mac would do if he coveted his neighbor's jalopy is slug him with a piece of lead pipe and drive off.
Yeah, so good night. I got business.
Now, wait, Mac. You could satisfy my curiosity a little. Why should you want to steal this gentleman's old automobile when you've got nicer, newer ones to choose from?
Yes, ask him, mister. Ask him.
Yeah, ask me, Saint. Go ahead, and I'm going to satisfy a little curiosity of my own.
I didn't think you had any, Mac. What shape does it take?
I always wondered how you'd look dead. Good night, all.
Good night, Mac. Be seeing you.
You let him go.
Yes, he convinced me that I should for now. There's nothing like a .32 in the pocket of a known thug for winning an argument. Did you say there was another fellow with him?
Yes. Run off when he heard you coming. It was the same fellow tried to buy my car yesterday.
Someone tried to buy this car?
Well, sure. This fella tried to buy it. And there was a woman made an offer, too.
Did you mean you actually refused?
I ain't selling until I find out why they want to buy it so bad.
This fellow who tried to buy the car, do you know his name?
No, he looked like a gentleman until...
Until you found him consorting with felonious intent with our just-departed friend, eh? Tell me, was he well-dressed, an annoying little mustache placed just over the sneer he wears for a mouth?
Well, yes. Say, how did you...
That's easy. Our friend Mac does piecework for him. Fancy Dan Turner is his current alias. But I see you don't keep up with such things.
You're going to tell the police?
Later, perhaps, when there's something to tell them. Right now, I've got a great thirst that needs quenching. A thirst for knowledge.
Huh?
Yeah, what's your name and where do you live?
Collins. 302 East 8th Street.
Mm-hmm. Now, put your car in cold storage, old-timer, and take care of yourself. Something tells me this is Rat's Night Out. Hello, Smitty. Back making book, I see.
You got the wrong joint, Saint. Take a look around. I run a pool room. You interested in a horse?
No, a man.
Well, like I said, Saint, you got the wrong joint.
His name's Mac. He hangs out here. Now, where is he? In the back room?
I'm the Three Monkeys, Saint. Deaf, dumb, and blind. The only Mac I know is a truck.
Oh, then if you don't mind, I'd like to look in your back room and see if he's parked there.
I mind.
But you won't even know, Smitty. You're deaf, dumb, and blind.
Oh, have a heart, Saint. I ain't got no back room. And besides, last time you dropped in my place, a lot of my customers started patronizing elsewhere.
Including you, Smitty, remember?
I've only been back from the Gray place a week, and I ain't forgetting it. Oh, come on, Saint. Be a good guy. Beat it, huh?
No, Smitty. Let him stay a while.
Hello, Mac.
I was hoping you were smart enough to go home and get some sleep.
How could I sleep with you out roaming the streets, Mac? You know how I worry.
Yeah, too much. What does he want, Smitty?
You.
Why, Saint?
I want to talk with Fancy Dan Turner.
What about...
Now, let's not be coy, Mac. It doesn't become you. I want to ask Turner why he's trying to steal a jalopy from an old man.
Well, what do you know? I got a surprise for you, Saint. I'll take it to him.
The boys say you're looking for me, Saint.
The boys are right.
So you found me. So?
I understand you're interested in a certain old car.
So what? Probably the Smiling Irishman is, too.
A broken-down 1929 sedan seems a little slow for a fast man like you, Fancy Dan.
Well, maybe I like to go slow enough to read the billboards when I drive. What's it to you, Saint?
It depends on what it is to you, Turner. What's on the fire?
You are. There's a handle with care sign on this deal, and I don't want just anybody cutting in. You're a fowler-upper.
You've been stepping high and fancy free too long, Turner. You're beginning to irritate me.
The feeling's likewise, Saint. Only I got more than fingers in my fist and you haven't.
It's a nice gun you're so bravely wearing, Turner. It must be a pretty big pot to change a small-time con artist like you into a fire-breathing gunman. Big potatoes, huh?
Yeah, plenty big, Saint. So big I wouldn't hesitate to shoot at the slightest move. Am I clear?
You couldn't be clearer if you were a day ordered by the Chamber of Commerce.
Good. Oh, it ain't a palace, Saint. It's just the back room of a pool parlor, but please stay and be my guest.
Oh, very well, for a little while anyway. Where are the boys?
Out.
They're wasting their time. Collins won't sell his old wreck. Some old men are stubborn. And Collins seems like a hard man to intimidate.
Well, that all depends on who's doing the intimidating, Saint. Now, Mac's a chowderhead, and Smitty's even worse, but put the two boys together, and you'll get a job of work done.
Dan, I've adopted old man Collins as a friend.
Ah, how big are you?
Yes. You know how I feel about people who push other people around, Turner? Especially when the guy getting the shoving is a friend.
You know, if I had a glass of beer, I'd cry into it. Sit back and relax, Saint. The boys will be back with what they want after soon enough, and maybe then I'll let you go home.
You mean they're coming back with the car?
Well, maybe not the whole car. Sit back and relax. Hey, relax. Hey, what are you doing?
Sitting back with my chair to the wall, Turner. You want me to relax, don't you?
Yeah, I... Hey, let go of that cue stick. I...
As my old grandmother used to say, Turner, there's nothing as relaxing as a game of pool. Particularly with a hoodlum's head as the cue ball.
Thank you.
Collins! Collins, open up!
You wouldn't be from the police now, would you?
No. No, I'm no more a policeman than you are, old man Collins.
Come in and be welcome, then.
Oh. Where's Collins?
The old man. He's here.
Where?
Behind the sofa. But if you're of a mind to look at him, make it a quick look.
Dead?
Very.
How?
Every way. Beaten, stabbed, and tortured. Maybe even shot, for all I know.
Yes, and for all I know, maybe you've got a gun with an empty chamber, for all I know.
Bless me, no. Me business doesn't allow it.
Just what sort of business are you in, Irish?
The name's O'Brien.
Ah.
When a job is pulled, and the police go after the boys who pull it, I make an end run and go after the swag, or at least part of it.
Oh, I see. What's the swag here? Collins' wallet?
Not unless there's 400 grand in it.
400? Oh, no, I'm afraid you'll find the old man a few cents short. Who killed him?
Not I.
How do I know?
You don't.
You're right. What brought you here?
I'm here about the old car, of course.
You want to buy it?
Certainly, don't you? Say, maybe you're not being cute. Maybe you really don't know about the...
About what?
Well, now, I'm greatly relieved. When I first saw you come through that door, I said to myself, O'Brien, here comes some more competition. But I see you're not. I'm relieved, laddie. Greatly relieved.
Turner is competition enough, eh?
Yes, but Turner and his ugly ducklings are nothing compared to...
Who?
In time. I got here just a minute before you, laddie. The old man was dead when I arrived. Beyond that, I know nothing.
Get down. O'Brien! O'Brien!
Competition. Getting worse. All the time.
Look, I'll call the doctor.
No. Thanks, laddie. Lay off this frolic. He'll get you next. You're gonna die, mister. You're gonna...
O'Brien, the old man's car, what... Well, I guess I'll have to try another angle. This one's pretty dead.
I awakened Mr. Ritchie as you requested, Mr. Templer. He'll be right down.
Oh, thank you.
I hope the fire isn't too serious, sir.
Well, it's serious enough to awaken Mr. Ritchie.
Oh, here he is now, sir.
Well, which plant is the fire in? Who's responsible? How big is the damage?
Oh, the fire isn't in any plant, Mr. Ritchie.
What's that, then? Then where...
It's inside of me. I'm burning up, and I need your help.
How dare you sneak your way in here 3 o'clock in the morning by telling me there's a fire? Look here, who are you?
Simon Templer.
Oh, yes. The saint.
Hmm.
I've heard of you. If you have business with me, Mr. Templer, I suggest you phone my secretary for an appointment. Meanwhile, there's no subject on earth can keep me from going back to bed.
Not even the subject of $400,000, Mr. Ritchie.
What do you know about it?
Nothing other than that it was stolen from you, Mr. Ritchie.
That happened 7 years ago. The criminal, John Quayle, was caught, tried, and convicted. Now, if you'll pardon me...
Quayle worked for you, I believe.
He was my head accountant.
And the money was never found?
No. Quayle drew 20 years in the penitentiary. He never revealed where the money was hidden until the day he died.
Died?
Yes. 2 weeks ago in prison. And now, Mr. Templer, if you don't mind, I need my rest.
I won't detain you much longer, Mr. Ritchie. Just one or two more questions.
Well?
Did Quayle have a wife?
Yes, he did.
If he knew he were dying in prison, it's quite possible he made an attempt to get word to her, to tell her where the money was hidden.
He may have made the attempt, but he couldn't possibly have succeeded. He was too closely watched.
Oh.
After all, $400,000 is a lot of money. A lot of money.
Yes, you could almost buy a second-hand car with it.
If I hadn't been fully covered by insurance, my firm would have gone under in the face of a loss that large. And now, Mr. Templer, if I might ask a question.
Certainly.
Why this sudden urgency? This 3 o'clock in the morning business?
An old man was tortured to death. Then a fellow named O'Brien, who came calling on the old man, was shot to death.
But before
he was killed, O'Brien told me he was tracking down $400,000 that had been stolen.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and some checking back over how many people have ever had that amount stolen from
them. Led you to me?
Yes.
I wonder what I've led you to, Mr. Templer.
I wonder, Mr. Ritchie. I wonder.
is it?
Mrs. Quayle?
What do you want?
Several things, Mrs. Quayle.
Like what?
A murderer.
You've got the wrong apartment, mister.
An old automobile.
No sale. Anything else?
Maybe you'll buy this, Mrs. Quayle. Collins was murdered a little while ago.
Collins?
Hmm.
Oh, the old man. Why?
Someone wanted his car. Someone who evidently couldn't wait any longer for the newer models.
So?
So I saw Collins' car in your garage, Mrs. Quayle.
Maybe you better come in after all, mister. But come in careful.
Careful enough?
Keep those hands high. Sure. I don't like you, mister. You're nailing together a frame and you're trying to put my picture into it. Collins sold me that car.
When?
Tonight. I could have bought a Cadillac for cheaper, mister, but I wasn't in any position to haggle.
Yes, I know.
What do you know? That's what I want to find out.
I know that Collins' car as a car is worth about $20, but as something else, it's worth in the neighborhood of $400,000. And you know that's an awfully nice neighborhood.
Nice and exclusive. Chiselers aren't invited to move in.
I've been gathering that impression all evening. Well, what have we here?
You name it.
An acetylene torch, welder's mask, a few chisels, a hammer, steel wire. Either you've gone to work for Henry Kaiser, or the hand that customarily rocks the cradle is going in for rocking a safe.
I had to go into a hardware store to make a phone call, and I just couldn't leave without buying a few things.
How fortunate you didn't make your call in an establishment that sells steamrollers. Yeah, I see you have a set of license plates.
You see too much.
From Collins Jalopy, aren't they? These license plates. So that's how Quayle smuggled out his message.
You're getting awfully close to a bullet in your head, mister. Give me those plates.
Better not take the license plates with you.
Yes?
Oh! Mrs. Quayle!
Oh!
Mrs.
The devil! He got the plates?
Yes. Yes, he got them.
Don't let him. Oh, catch him there.
Where? Where?
Where Johnny worked. Shaft. Top.
Mrs. Quayle. Collins, O'Brien, and now... Now I have three reasons for wanting to meet a certain party. Taxi! Hey, taxi!
They, don't stop sometimes when it's so early in the morning, Saint, because they're on the way back to the garage.
Well, what brings you out so early, Mac? Looking for a drunk to roll?
Just looking for you, Saint, just looking for you. See here what I got in my hand?
Oh, there goes that coy streak in you again, Mac. All right, so it's a gun. Well, what does he want me to do? Come, go, turn handsprings, quote Shelley, play the bassoon? You have to speak for it, Mac.
Very funny. Look out, it shouldn't speak for itself, Saint. I ain't the gun, one you should get in that there car.
Yeah, you have a most persuasive way of offering a fellow a lift, Mac.
Yeah, a lift. Right now, it's a lift. Later on, it may grow into a ride. Come on.
Where are we going, Mac?
Back to our little gray home in the rear of the pool room, Saint. Fancy Dan Turner wants he should thank you for showing him a new trick.
Oh, it really isn't necessary.
He feels like it is, Saint. He feels like it is. Got a couple of tricks he wants to show you.
Sounds like fun.
Come on, into the car, Jim. Turner's waiting. He's got very little patience.
Nice to have you back with us, Saint. I missed you.
From the looks of that bandage on your skull, Turner, I'll bet you wished I'd missed you.
Not now, I don't, Saint. It's a nice feeling having you here, knowing that I owe you something. I pay my debts, Saint. I pay off.
Yes, I know. O'Brien was paid off. So was Mrs. Quayle. Paid off with lead checks.
They're dead?
Oh, now save that innocent expression for the jury, Turner. You'll need everything you've got.
Well, when were they killed, Saint?
Okay, I'll stooge for you. They were killed an hour or two after I so abruptly left you before.
Oh, well, I'll have to find another pigeon, Saint. My alibi's fat.
How fat, Turner?
City Hospital. Having Remember the Saint embroidered where a cue stick hit me. And Smitty and Mac were there, too, to see me through it. Hospitals have records, Saint. We're clean.
Huh. Then you've got a competitor you don't know about, Turner.
Yeah, looks that way. For a job that was supposed to be as simple as this one, I got too many competitors. I wonder how come.
Who fingered the job for you, Turner? Who told you Quayle got word out to his wife about where the money was?
I got nothing for you, Saint.
It was Smitty, wasn't it? Smitty just finished a stretch up the creek. My guess is he ran into Quayle, maybe shared a cell with him.
No. It was in the jail hospital they met. Smitty worked there. Quayle was dying off his nut. Smitty made him talk.
Yeah. And Smitty, not being mentally suited for solo work, spilled the pitch to you, Turner, for a price, of course, for money on the line.
Yeah. 10 G's to buy in on a 400,000 job. But what are you driving at? What are you picking Smitty's bones for?
I was just wondering, Turner, how much O'Brien paid Smitty for his slice of this exclusive information, and how much your other competitor shelled out, the one who happily goes around killing people.
What do you mean?
If you ask me, Turner, your pal Smitty is the sort of rat that even rats on rats. He sold Quayle's secret 3 times that we know of.
Hey, thanks for handicapping it for me, Saint.
Well, if you're really grateful, Turner, you can return the favor by telling me, what time is it?
It's 5:15 in the morning, Saint, but you ain't going nowhere.
I have a date to keep before 6, Turner, with your competitor.
Yeah, Saint, that's what you think.
Maybe not, Turner. What do you say we play a little pool while we're waiting for the boys?
Get away from that pool table. I ain't playing any games with you, Saint.
Well, maybe pool was the wrong game. How about a game of pitch and catch?
What?
Yeah, I pitch like this.
Oh!
And you catch it like that. Hate to leave you all by yourself there in the side pocket, but like I said, I have a date to keep. Well, Mr. Ritchie, get enough sleep despite my interruption?
I wasn't really asleep when you called on me, Mr. Templer.
I know, Mr. Ritchie. Your hair was a little too carefully combed for a man who's been suddenly awakened and told he's having a fire.
You're very clever, Mr. Templer.
But not clever enough to catch you before you committed 3 murders. So you're Smitty's silent partner, huh? See what low company's gotten you into, Ritchie?
Yes, I see. $400,000 buried in the siding of this elevator shaft. And with the help of this acetylene torch, it'll be all mine. A very ingenious fellow, Quayle. And to think the money never left this building.
Hmm. The place where Johnny worked. Yes, he was ingenious. It was very smart of him to use his prison job making automobile license plates as a means of smuggling out the information to his wife. How did he do it, Richie?
Very simple, Templar. There's an extra piece of thin metal in this particular plate, forming a sort of pocket. And inside the pocket, a note on cigarette paper telling poor Mrs. Quayle how to get the money. Of course, once he managed to tell her the number of the license plate, well, the rest was easy, wasn't it?
Yes. All poor Mrs. Quayle had to do was ask the Motor Vehicle Bureau to whom the plate was assigned. Mr. Collins, in this instance.
Poor old fellow. Mr. Temple, would you mind joining me here in the shaft, please?
Hmm?
Yes, right on top of the elevator. I'd like to keep an eye on you while I finish burning out this metal partition. You see, I've only until 6 o'clock when this elevator is switched on downstairs.
Oh, well, I...
Come, in the shaft, please.
Well, really,
I have a gun, Mr. Templer.
Oh, well, that makes it official, then.
There we are. Careful, Mr. Templer. I wouldn't want anything to happen to you. Anything accidental, that is.
You know, it's funny. I've known you such a short time, and I have exactly the same sentiments towards you. I've never been astride the top of an elevator before, Richie. And we're right near the top of the shaft.
Yes. I don't mean to worry you, Templar, but when this elevator power turns on in a few minutes, it will rise to the top before it descends.
How's your treasure hunt coming, Richie?
Almost finished. One last strip of metal to cut away and the partition will come off. Then we'll decide your fate, Mr. Templar. Your future. Here goes. A last blow. It's there. It's there. I see it. $400,000 in currency, Templar. Think of it. Think of it.
You think of it, Richie, and also think of how much blood was spilled on it.
Preaching, Templar? You? I never thought... What's that?
The elevator, Richie. Maybe it came to work a little early today.
My money. My money.
Come on, Richie. Come on, get off.
No, there's still some money left here. I want it. I want it all. All.
Come on. We've got to get off. Jump, Richie, jump.
No, my money. I must save the money.
Richie, you fool.
All right, I got it.
You saved your money, and you saved the state some money, too. I'm sure you didn't plan on saving the cost of your execution.
You have been listening to another adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. And now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
These immortal words of Ovid, translated from the Latin, express quite well indeed the justice of our Mr. Ritchie's fate. Nor is there any juster law than that the contrivers of death should perish by their own contrivances. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
Tonight's script of The Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. Our cast included Lorraine Tuttle, Barney Phillips, Tony Barrett, Fred Howard, and Dan O'Herlihy. The music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. The Saint is a James L. Saphir production and was transcribed and directed by Thomas A. McAvity. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that The Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Merrill Ross. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Saint, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 14, 1949, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And so closes this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.